Dear friends, may we meet each other during this service in the spirit of love, wisdom, and power. May we turn our whole being to the gnosis that touches us, so that the roses of unfading beauty may open forth in the light of the truth. Newly manifested life. O threefold cord of the divine touch, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, faith, hope, and love. From faith is our union with you. From hope, the power, and from love, the light birth. He who has entered into the light birth of God can begin to walk the path of the great life renewal. From day to day, he is kindled by the Spirit of God. He is able to entirely submerge in Jesus the Lord, and he emerges victorious because he is reborn through the Holy Spirit. Friends, the basis of life, the active power of the universal brotherhood with which the work for humanity is accomplished is to be found in the higher soul power. Through this help, the suffering of humanity can be alleviated. This suffering is caused by an unconscious or partially conscious longing for perfection, freedom, unity, and love, and by the fundamental experience, this longing can never be satisfied. This suffering can be alleviated when humanity will be not only shown a way out of this grief-creating situation, but also when a particular power and substance onto realization become active in the world. This activity that is charged with soul power is an expression of the all-encompassing love. It is a proof of an actual higher state of being, which will be experienced and used consciously. Z.W. Lehne wrote the following about the sanctifying power of love. True love begins on earth, where people toil and sigh, and where the spirit is caught in appearances. Here, people struggle. Here is the place of our harsh destiny of life. Here is where the wish to go beyond matter must be born. Here is where people born out of the spirit will descend into matter in order to learn and in order to transform matter into spirit. True love begins here, where people are bound to matter, from which they cannot be freed by any advice given to them, and they cannot be freed by just simply making a decision. This is why the Rosicrucian philosophy is not a rigid, cold system that weighs heavily on our shoulders due to unachievable instructions. Slogans like, for instance, "Well, you have to love, otherwise." This does not apply here. No, the Rosicrucian philosophy is all about the reality of life. There are great misconceptions about these things in the world. Often happens that some of those who do not understand the deeper meanings of the universal teachings believe they can explain those to others. People play and dally with the divine truth. However, the philosophy of the Rosicrucians relates to reality, which is the wisdom of life. This wisdom of life is not limited to knowing about gnomes, elves, air spirits, and elementals. It is not limited to talk about or meditating about the spiritual laws or analyzing well-known concepts like faith can remove mountains. If the sanctifying power of love is lacking, then we are still nothing. Then we are just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, as it is expressed in the Corinthians. The sanctifying power of love is the divine power that Christ shows us. How can people who are still bound to earth understand this love? How can those who don't understand the cosmic laws of life have acquired a desire body that is three quarters filled with lower urges? How would they know about the laws of love? Their thinking is also completely dominated by misunderstanding, while they use weighty words of logic and intellectual concepts in their speech. Well, how could actually people understand the sanctifying power of love? How could people who live entirely from the power of their natural instincts understand the sanctifying power of the love of the Christ? And the answer is by transforming from natural people to spiritual people. As pupils on the path, we have to try to see things clearly. We have to look at the teachings with fresh eyes. We have to let go some of the overused mental images. The rules, for instance, that are taken from the Christian revelation of salvation, the so-called commandments of the Christ. A bunch of set rules has no use to us. In the course of our real life, and in our observations, we discover that we cannot receive the sanctifying power of love, but we have to nourish and cherish love. This means our aim is not only repeating the words of his teachings that we have known already for the last 2,000 years, but our aim is to receive the Christ himself, to receive his power.
Dear friends, during this renewal conference, we have spoken of unity, freedom, and justice, the three fundamental principles of modern life, and of faith, hope, and love, the three spiritual attributes of the new life, as the consciousness of the coming new man. We explain that the fundamental reality of life is not the principles we aspire to. It is the state of consciousness from which we work. Striving for unity, freedom, and justice without the foundation of a real and living faith, hope, and love is like building our house on sand. When a storm comes, our life loses its foundations. Our house falls to pieces. Only upon the solid foundation of a new way of life can faith, hope, and love, or for that matter, unity, freedom, and justice, be truly liberating. Attempting to emulate this mighty triangle, trying to attain love solely with humanitarian principles and practices, no matter how refined, will inevitably have consequences, as Jean de Van Reichenbach described in The Coming New Man. Love in nature as a characteristic of goodness, firstly, has its limits. Secondly, it is not unconditional. Thirdly, it excludes others and is therefore I-central. Fourthly, it is always accompanied by various shadows, such as stupidity, selfishness, indifference, and hatred, as something clearly belonging to this nature, it must therefore reckon with the law of opposites. Thus, it is responsible for the great suffering experienced by fallen mankind. When one of the purest aspects of human goodness can thus turn into its opposite and throw such dangerous shadows, it is inevitable that it is here that the source of pain lies. Friends, don't we see every day the devastating truth of these words? Yet, isn't it sometimes hard to accept this reality? After all, so much blood, sweat, and tears have gone into establishing these sublime principles as the foundation of our modern civilization. Why should love, one of the purest aspects of human goodness, so readily and inevitably turn into its opposite? Is that really the way things need to be? Surely, If people could be nice to each other for a moment, we could give love a chance. Let us cease this endless cycle of pain and suffering now. Dear friends, we all know where this all ends. And we are all here, linked to the spiritual school of the Golden Rosy Cross, precisely because we have an idea about the answer, which we have heard reiterated so many times. Again, in the coming new month, Jan van Rijkenborg explains, referring to the second letter of Peter, the prerequisites to the sevenfold path of renewal, the foundations on which we can build so that our striving for unity, freedom, and love will be truly effective and fruitful. These seven conditions form a sequence of transformations, so a path of liberation, which with pure spiritual orientation and earnest perseverance will lead the soul conscious human being to attain the one goal. This path begins with faith, which we must supplement with virtue. Then, stepwise, our virtue with knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, until finally we manifest love. With each step, the spiritual fruits of that condition guide the awakening soul consciousness to the next step, as we proceed in an ascending spiral of soul conscious realization through a clear and purely dedicated action. So, we see, dear friends, that this sevenfold path described by Peter begins with faith and ends in love. Faith, hope, and love are not things we can possess, but a process, a practical application of spiritual principles. Faith, hope, and love are living states of consciousness, the formula and foundation for transformation, and the path of transition to a fundamentally different and new state of being. The key, the foundation stone of this new spirit-soul consciousness is faith. The union of the spirit spark atom in the heart with the light of the spirit. The restoration of the living connection between the center of the microcosm and the spirit light force of the all. This spirit spark atom is the linked, the divine essence, and the interconnection between us all. Without us being conscious of this connection, there is no hope and no possibility of true love. When the consciousness awakens to this connection, to this inner presence, when this becomes a living reality, or at least a living possibility, then this faith opens the seeker to new powers, to the impulses of the spirit light that can now enter the consciousness and prepare the candidate to consciously take the next step on the path of renewal. In this way, the fivefold soul of the candidate becomes attuned to receive the gnosis and begins living out of this new condition through this openness to the spirit. As Jampan Reichenbo explained in the Gnosis in Present-Day Manifestation, faith is from the force field, but hope begins to glimmer with the first ray of the Holy Spirit, the first ray of the sevenfold power. In faith, we see the things as the new life, as from afar. In hope, we experience the nearness of the new life. It is logical that the third step is love. Love means to become one, an absolute unity. In our sense, love is the unity with the Gnosis, as the second ray of the sevenfold spirit. In faith, a bond already exists. In hope, the bond with the Gnosis becomes closer, and in love, it becomes an accomplished fact. Love is the absolute unity, dear friends. The accomplished fact, the condition of the soul that has been prepared and raised into a higher spiral of life, true life. It is nothing to do with our emotional disposition, that natural condition of familial or fraternal kinship, or the mutual recognition of our natural affinity and interdependency as human beings. We can see the triunity of faith, hope, and love as three temples, three spirals of our path of ascension to the new man. First, when the candidate gives evidence of their cooperation through establishing a conscious connection with the spirit spark atom in the heart, they give evidence of their faith. Second, this faith allows the light and power emanating from this new magnetic connection to remain steadfast in their system, so that the conscious being is irradiated with the hope of transformation. And finally, this hope leads us into a new way of life, as the candidate breaks through all resistance and opens up to the new reality of their existence as one who, in receiving all things, then relinquishes all things as the manifestation of true love for all humanity. In the first book of Corinthians 13, Paul speaks about the nature of love, calling us to move beyond any emotional cliché. Love is not merely a state of consciousness, but living proof and outpouring of that which we have received. Then we can act as a conduit for the Spirit. We manifest love that is not of our own making, but the manifestation of the divine love in us and through us. Paul concludes, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. To attain this love, dear friends, this highest vibration, we first need to demonstrate faith. And through faith comes hope, the purified heart, and the new thinking faculty. Only then can the connection with the Spirit take place, when, with this sword, this armor, the pupil can conquer the sanctuary of life. Only then can one speak of true love, in which we descend into the nadir of our existence, in the darkness where we can spark the light in others. The key to the path is faith, Jean van Rijkenboer, but love is the realization, the fulfillment. The French poet Jean Couteau said, "There is no such thing as love, only proof of love. Anything else is not love. At best, it is an emotion. Only through our actions, only on the foundation of faith and hope, can love manifest. Love is not a thing that we can possess, but a state of consciousness, a state of being that we express as the proof of fulfillment. When the light of the Gnosis streams into the purified heart and fills the consciousness, the love radiation of brotherly affection is revealed to all ready to be safe from the chaos of ordinary life. When true love has become our state of life, then we offer to all humanity the heavenly bread we receive through our inner connection with the Spirit. Fulfilling our task of receiving all things, giving all things, and in that way, renewing all things, the candidate in whom true love now manifests has a regard for all humankind, so intense, so pure, so objective, that a being of ordinary nature cannot comprehend it. This love must indeed will emanate not merely as a higher calling, but as a fundamental state of being. So deep seated is the new condition of the heart, head, and hands, that this love is manifested not through voluntary acts or conscious decisions, but becomes an innate reaction, an irrefutable way of life. In the immense power of true love, all things touch and embrace by its radiation will experience it as an elevation or a fall. Its appeal to the heart of the human being is met with a fundamental reaction based on the state of consciousness of the individual. Whether or not the individual is ready for it, a reaction is elicited nevertheless. This new reality brings real meaning to the so often misunderstood words of Christ. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. This command of true love is a call to action, to a living, vibrant vivification of the spirit soul consciousness. And the radiation of this love comes as a force of change that manifests either as a burning desire for salvation, for true renewal, or as a painful experience, as the sword that exposes the lack of love in our being. Many look to the path of initiation as an escape route from the world, an exit out of the nadir of our existence in matter. Sometimes we hear the question, is there any training, exercises, or method I can use to attain my liberation from the bondage of this life? Dear friends, such escape routes do not exist. It is not the love you seek, and we need to inform you openly and honestly that it is impossible to achieve any liberation in that way. We must cross this nadir of delusion to discover before us the narrow path to true unity, freedom, and love. And to continue along this path, it is necessary to abandon all baggage, all the treasures of the self. This is why Jesus answered the rich man who longed to possess his love. If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Dear friends, let go of these possessions. Let go of this nothing of self. Let go of this notion of self. For when the candidate becomes open to the path, a love that permeates everything envelops him. A love for all that lives a universal love. No longer is there a desire to isolate oneself from the turmoil of the times and of humanity, nor from any of our brothers and sisters, our fellow humankind. Then the pupil has become like Christ, one with them. For this reason, he who truly longs to possess the love we are discussing here must willingly go through the nadir, the lowest point of manifestation from which we begin our journey towards the light, having put behind us the illusion of emotional love. As we read in the coming Newman, whoever wishes to be cured must be prepared to remove the cause of all suffering, namely his delusion, his I passion, his passion to exist, in short, himself. This is desire for liberation. Then we may consciously enter the nadir of life, not to escape from this world, but to embrace the entire world. Then we willingly bear the cross of Christ, so that we too may then kindle the light in the darkness and truly love all humanity. May we all attain the faith and the hope necessarily to realize this true love.
Thank you.
Pure faith gives inner knowledge, the certainty that the power emanating from it will be a lasting help to the pupil on the path and give him might. This all-encompassing mighty power must be sustained, for it forms the foundation for the man of the beginning. These are the words that should be fundamental for everyone, while in the background of the consciousness shines the mighty touch of the chain of the universal brotherhood of Christ. Dear friends, we would like to conclude this service with the following words by Hermes Trismegistus. It was God's will that the link with the Spirit should be obtained by all souls, however, as a price for the race. He sent down a great mixing vessel filled with the powers of the Spirit, and he appointed a herald and bade him proclaim to the hearts of men, immerse yourself in this mixing vessel, you also who can, you who believe, and trust that you will ascend to him who sent down this vessel. You who know for what purpose you were created. May it be so for all and each one of us.